You guys think about how to control the desire and not let it control you.
People lost the idea and the true understanding
of how
intended sex to be. Yeah.
How much time people are spending a day, like term gooning, like goon all day. Yeah. I used to do this too. Wasting time, you're wasting energy for what? You're either looking for short-term pleasure or long-term gratification.
I also think that when you have a relationship with God, you spiritually become stronger, desire comes. I'm able to fight it with the power of God and the spirit of God, right?
So idle mind is the devil's workshop. So if you're just drifting, letting life take you by the storm, the devil can easily take you and drift you away.
Have some kind of role model, better example than Jesus Christ, right? God himself came down in human flesh, taught this incredible teachings. Not only that, but lived it.
You're not based. When a person is not based, it's scary because anything that you will do, you can justify it.
Yeah.
What are some examples of Jesus' role as a redeemer in the Bible or in your life? You guys want to read it too?
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bros Think Big. Today we're going to be talking about how to control your sexual desires and channel it in a right direction, right? So the reason why we are talking about this topic is because we noticed that in today's world, sexual desire and just in general for men is a big struggle. But the question is, how do you channel that in a right direction and to use that for the better of yourself as well as the society to serve God properly and not just be controlled by it, but control the desire, right? I think one of the main ones is to really understand what it is in depth and why is it that you have such a strong, I guess, desire to use that only physically, right? Because people almost don't know how to channel that desire mentally and physically, right? Because a lot of the times what happens is the things that are put in front of us through social media and internet in general, movies are very sexual. Even the jokes, even, you know, the physical displayment of it. So you can't really escape it. And the devil tempts us with these desires because I would say this is one of the probably the biggest ways you can go away from God's design for humankind with sexuality, right? So what do you guys think about how to control the desire and not let it control you?
I think the first thing
would be the step
with what you mentioned is that like you said, like we live in like a perverted world where in things like movies, TV shows, social media, it's like everywhere you look, it's just constant red flag of just like sexual, either it's like a woman or there's some subliminal message in like TV shows, some joke in like a little kid's show.
Yeah, yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. And it you could tell if you kind of like open up your eyes, like that this world is kind of made for us to kind of feed into that desire of ours. And it's just,
it's very subconscious too. You might not feel it at the moment, but then couple months from then, you just kind of remember that scene that you watched in a movie or something plays in your head or some kind of thought comes into your head without you even being conscious of it. So
everywhere, like everywhere you look, and it's really easy to kind of just like fall into that trap.
Right.
It's also, we have easy access to this stuff as well. We could simply just a couple clicks on your phone and a search and you're there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Boom. Whatever you want. Endless, like a bottomless pit of women and anything that you want.
Dude, literally, even when I want to watch sports and you go on this website to watch sports for free, like you click on this website and it's supposed to take you to watch sports and it takes you to this other websites that, you know, go into like...
It's like ads, right?
Yeah, exactly. Those ads that pop up every time. And then it's like some of them actually I've noticed, you can't even close them. Like it's literally right in front of your face. You just have to leave from Safari and then close it. Like you have to close the tab. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just, that's how crazy it is. So imagine how it's like, they just put it right in front of your face and you can't escape it. Until you are actually understanding
how to control
that it's actually wrong, right? Yeah, that it's actually wrong, right?
Yeah.
For you to have that desire to sexualize anything and everything and just take it as like, if I feel good and if it makes me feel good, it's healthy, right? It's like people lost the idea and the true understanding of what sex is actually, what God intended for us to, or... What
God intended sex to be.
Intended sex to be. Yeah. That's how I wanted to put it.
Right.
Because it's like, I think it's a gift that you can be able to, you know, make kid and have kid. But then it's like, you know, people can just take it as if
you can easily pervert it.
Yeah. It's like, if I feel good and this is the woman that I actually love, why can't I have sex before we get married? What if we can't wait, right? So people have lost that. Like, people want to pick and choose, right? Like, in the Bible, yeah. It says that you have to find the right woman and you have to, like, you have to love them, right? But then, you know, they don't want to take the other part where it says no sex before marriage. You know what I mean? They want to pick and choose whichever one makes them feel good. Not understanding that they're both important in their own way.
Dude, it sucks too, because I feel like in relationships, that like, we're missing that part where we're actually connected with the person. Because the first thing that we think of when, like, we're with someone, especially like when we're young, is like, oh, like, I want to get with them, or I want to hook up with them, or something like that. Just like
the
instantly just like lusting over them, not really actually building a connection.
Like, if you have the connection, that's what they say. It's like, if you have good sex, mm-hmm. you have good connection.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So Genesis 2:24 actually reads, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, that is pretty much what you brought up. And this passage pretty much explains and introduces the idea that sex, which is one flesh, the unity, is intended to occur within the lifelong covenant of marriage between a man and a woman. So this pretty much already says, right from the beginning, God's intention on when should you and when can you actually have that oneness and unity through sex with a woman is when you are committed in a relationship through marriage. And marriage is a covenant. It's a marriage. So it's a lifelong commitment you are making with that one person. And you're saying, you know, this is the only one I will love. And this is the only woman that will be in my life who I will, you know, partake in sexual activity per se. But I think we cannot escape, you know, the idea of this desire or what's put in front of us, because it's always going to be there. It's such a big thing. What we need to tell people is how to control these desires and how to channel it properly. What does this mean, right? So channeling something in a right direction is essentially what we mentioned, is when that desire doesn't control you, you are in control. So one of the things that the guy you sent the video of, this priest, was talking is, okay, so you have this desire as a man, and which you should, which is, you know, God-given gift that a man should have, because, you know,
can't get rid of that desire at all.
And the testosterone and stuff that we have, especially if you have high testosterone, you are tend to be inclined to have a sexual need. But you can take that energy to work out, and let's say you're in the gym, push that weight, get that energy out, because it's what it is it's an energy that is pushing you to, I guess, for that energy to leave your body, right? I think that's kind of like what happens during ejaculation, is you are kind of releasing this energy that is pushing against you, and that is you using that energy improperly and depriving yourself from such an essential, not just essential, but such a powerful tool to build you up as a character, right? And when you're holding in that much power and you're channeling it into working out, that is you putting so much and hard work into, you know, building your physique as well as financial, you're, you know, going working or thinking about ideas and coming up with creative thoughts through that powerful channeling force that is within. So when you understand this, you tend to think about it differently. It's like, okay, would I really waste such an energy on somebody that I don't love? Would I, you know, waste this energy on something that is kind of shallow, something that just is very selfish? Or would I use this energy to channel it in a direction where I can make an impact in the world positively, mm-hmm. and use that to, you know, spread love, not just with my one partner, but with the world, with other people. And, you know, that understanding, when I read that, Napoleon Hill talks about, from the book Think and Grow Rich, what's it called? The other book.
By Napoleon Hill?
No. This other guy. I was actually reading that book. We mentioned it a lot as well.
The Way of the Superior
Man. The fact that you knew it, yeah. The Way of the Superior Man. That
I
book
was looking
also,
it up in earlier too.
Yeah. That's also the book that talks about these type of desires and how to control it. And when you have an understanding, personally me, that's how I kind of was able to channel it like that, and then desires kind of go away.
Yeah, but let's really think about like how much time people are spending a day, like the the term gooning. Like they goon all day. Yeah. I used to do this too. I used to just spend like an hour or even an hour and a half looking for that perfect video or just looking through my phone, looking at like women through social media.
What would be the best? Yeah.
Like what would be the best? And it's just like, you're wasting time. You're wasting energy for what? You spend that evening and you're drained. It's like, what's the point? At the end of the day, it's like, you're either looking for short-term pleasure or long-term gratification.
Yeah.
That's what you really got to think of when it comes to this sort of thing. It's, you're channeling it, but long-term, as you kind of build it up, like you're just, you kind of gravitate with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You let it bring you down. It's you partaking in something that is only self-destructive. It doesn't build you up. I mean, look, watching videos on adult websites doesn't really build you up in any way. If anything,
it's like pathetic.
It is. Because that's not something one, your wife would want you to do. Especially if you're trying to find a good woman and have a good family. And especially if you want to have a relationship with...
Even that, dude, I'll be honest. Even that sounds a little bit weird. Like adult websites. Like, I don't think it should be for anybody, if you ask me. So
right.
It's like, even that is a little bit like corrupt thinking, making people believe that if you're an adult, yeah, you could sneak a peek and you can like watch it. But even then, it sounds stupid when you say for adults, because what happens to adults thinking is they, you know, it drives them to this sexual drive that they have in the marriage, that which, and then soon turns out that if they, and when they grow old and they don't have that same appearance physically, they lose that. So they want to fulfill that either watching it or, you know, it's someone that is younger than them, or I don't know, stuff like that. Right. So, which is all in the mind.
Like nothing physical happens, and you're just in your head, in your imagination.
I'm gonna mention that, yeah.
Out of touch with reality, but more importantly, I think the understanding has to be: you either do this stuff and partake in the devil's trick, and which takes you away from God. Essentially, is that's what it's there for, or you are, you know, not partaking in this and you are forming a stronger relationship and stronger bond with God. What if you could use that 1 hour, 30 minutes to read the Bible, talk to God, pray to God, watch some productive videos about history on Christianity, Jesus Christ, who he was, what he did, all that type of stuff, and not indulge in activities that take you away from all the other options that could be potentially good for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Dude, there's such a huge difference between a person who's just emptying their seed on like a daily basis versus someone who's just kept it inside for like months and months on end. Like there's such a huge difference between the two, because one literally has this like energy, this drive, this like focus, this like flow state with life.
Yeah.
It's like, I think in what Superman calls it, like they're like, this person's like penetrating life.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of releasing his seed, he's kind of using his seed and penetrating life. I don't really know.
He's putting it to waste, and he doesn't have the power to kind of penetrate through life and be focused and sharp.
Yeah,
going out in the world.
Versus
losing the tool, throwing away the tools.
Exactly. It's like you're losing all these boosts and these stats that you you're not getting.
Right. And what I want to actually read from Napoleon Hill, I'm going to quote him on this. So he pretty much says, sexual desire is the most powerful of human desire. This is when you develop keenness of imagination, courage, willpower, resistance, and creative ability unknown to them at other times. So transmuting all the energy into productivity to think about becoming the right man for your future family and wife, right? So I think this is very important, because when you partake in letting your desires control you, and becoming a person who now thinks about what is the next pleasure I'm going to chase, what is the next video I'm going to watch, and going through something like hours or like 20, 30 minutes just to look for a perfect video. But then there's no perfect video, because right after the video, one thing you want to do is turn that off and just put that away, because you kind of fulfilled your desire and you have a guilt and shame that you have done such thing. That already shows you that you just wasted energy and time into something that you didn't even want to really put into it. But the desire, I mean, the emotions of yours took over so much that you were not even controlling it. Like it's like the devil with the strings just towing you around, whatever he wants you to do, that type of thing. And you can't really let him do that. Because when you have a relationship with God, what happens is you let God take control. You let God, guide you, than the devil. But every way of the devil leads to destruction. Every way of the devil leads to unfulfillment. Yet at the moment and beforehand, it feels like you're going to get something so much out of it. But at the end of the day, when it happens, it's empty. It's just like it went all away. It faded away. Next thing you know, you're trapped in a cycle of the next day. You know what's going to be the outcome. But at the moment, you are chasing that high. That is very, very interesting to put it in perspective. You're so blinded that you've experienced this many times. We all have, right? Experienced this so many times that afterwards you feel shameful. You feel like you have done something morally wrong. But then the next day, you forget about that exact emotion that you felt afterwards because of so much, I guess, so much blindness beforehand that you forget about the after effect.
Yeah, and I also think that when you have a relationship with God, I think you spiritually become stronger so that every desire that comes at you is just so much weaker than it would be like before, right? Because what I've noticed is like the desires would control me, but now it's like the other way around. I kind of actually know that when that desire comes, I'm able to fight it through the power of God and the spirit of God, right? So like when you're spiritually healthy and you're spiritually strong, those dark spirits can't win over you anymore. You know what I mean? It's like God's hand just protecting and stuff like that. So I think that's why it's very important to read Bible and just have a relationship with God and know God, you know, accept him and just, you know, have him shape your life. Like that's as straight as it sounds, just have him take over your life. Because otherwise, it just won't be possible for you to really overcome those desires.
I think the reason
as people, a human you can't, yeah.
I feel like the reason people have the opportunity to do it a lot is because they're just not busy with themselves. For me personally, the most times when I did it was when I was in my room doing nothing. I didn't really have like a goal in mind or something to do, like a task to do. I was always just like, because there's a saying that the ideal mind is the devil's workshop. I think it says that in Napoleon Hill's book as well.
I don't mind.
No, an idle.
An idle?
Okay.
So
it means just like a standstill. An idle mind is a devil's workshop. So if like if you let your mind, it's like drifting pretty much. Yeah. If you're just drifting, letting life take you by the storm, the devil can easily take you and drift you away towards pleasure and sin.
Right, exactly. And that's why, you know, you have to, what I would really suggest everybody do if they're going through I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I think that's very important, is to distract yourself in a very, very good manner where you're no longer left with the energy to indulge in activities like this, where you come back home so tired that all you want to do is eat, sleep. And that is better than, you know, having so much time on your hand that you're sitting down and you're saying, what should I do, man? Oh, let me just indulge in my own pleasure and worry about myself and how I can give myself pleasure so the next day I wake up and do the same, right? It is really pathetic when you think about it. And thinking back to my own times, that's exactly what I would tell myself is, okay, I am so selfish that I'm only thinking about myself and my desires to the point where I'm not willing to go out and do anything for my family and for people around me. And, you know, seeing people around you who are there trying to make an impact in the world, right? It can be an eye-opening thing because it makes you realize how useless you actually are compared to what these people are trying to do. And this isn't any type of negative connotation on those who are, you know, trapped in this addiction, because I feel you, we were there at some point. But without the hard reality you hit yourself with, it's very hard to overcome this. You have to feel the guilt and shame that you're doing something which is probably the least version of yourself would do. Imagine yourself 5-10 years from now. Would you want that person to do what you're doing today?
and ask yourself that question seriously, and then write down the answers. What would be a better version of myself, and what would that person's day-to-day look like? And slowly build up to that perfect lifestyle, so to speak, which may never exist to a T, but you will find yourself get closer and closer to not even doubting that you will get to that specific lifestyle that you imagined yourself to be.
Yeah, I think people have this mindset too when it comes to like being restricted, like, oh, like I have to, if I'm a Christian, I have to wait till marriage and I can't do all this stuff. And when people feel restricted, they almost feel like they're more inclined to do
limited,
the thing.
Right? Yeah.
Because it's just,
oh,
even like with food, like some people, they feel they can't go on restrictive diets because, oh, it's, oh my God, I feel like I can't, like I need that cookie, bro.
Right.
It's something like that.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to restrictiveness, it's all about the mindset. It's usually you're putting yourself in a box. You're not looking at it from, no, you're actually free from this restricted. Like you're free from this temptation that you have.
It's exactly.
Because in my notes, one of the notes is sexual purity isn't about rules. It's about freedom and focus. And I think the word there is freedom. It's not about you, like, you're held down, you're locked up, you're restrictive. Just like when people say with like religion or worshiping God, like, oh, you have to follow all these rules. And it's just like, wow, like, I don't feel like it's a mindset. Cause it's like, you're not actually restricted. You're free.
Right.
You're free from sin.
You're doing it out of love.
Yeah, exactly. You're free from sin. You're free from temptation. You're free to actually live out a godly life, righteous life.
Yeah. And to go back from your point is restrictiveness isn't always a bad thing. I think that's one of the understandings as a Christian. What you realize is when God gives us these commandments and stuff and we think deeply about them, he actually warns us as a responsible father, as a responsible parent, to guide us in a direction that is towards him, because he knows what these desires lead to. He knows that being trapped in the cycle can lead to those pleasurable things controlling us and sins to the point where we're not going to be in a relationship with him. So what he wants is a relationship with us. Therefore, he's going to tell us that, hey, don't partake in this, or this will lead to death. This will lead to destruction. This will lead to away from me. And you are free to choose that. But just remember that it will lead to death, and death is not where you would want to be. Death is the last thing you want to be at. And that is, and he's talking about eternal death, like eternal damnation from being an irresponsible child, so to speak, that he warned you on, saying, do not go there. You still went and you reap what you sow. So it shouldn't be a restriction, but it should be guidance. It should be, okay, he's trying to warn me from something that leads to death. Let me consider it at least. Let me look into, is it actually true? And when you logically think, you don't have to use the scripture necessarily. You just get the idea from the scripture and now apply it logically, right? Let's just say, for example, you indulge in having sex outside of marriage. God forbid you have a kid with the girl you had sex with. What do you do? Now you're, especially when you're in your teenage years and stuff, you're hit with such big responsibility. Okay, you're going to have a kid now, and that's a big responsibility. What do? You either leave her and you say, I'm out of here, which is, I don't know, something that's going to weigh you down so much when you get older. Maybe at the moment you're going to cope with it, but it will just be so much guilt carried on later on. Or you both will come to a conclusion of getting abortion, which is as worse, if anything, I would say even worse, right? So then you tell yourself, okay, God restricted me to not have sex outside of marriage. Oh, now it makes sense why he would do that, because he is keeping me away from having to make such decision because of my responsibility, not, you know, doing this outside of marriage. And this is just one example, and there's just so many. But sexual immorality nowadays, it's just looked upon so just on a surface level, and as if there's no real consequences after that. Like there's so much emotional attachment you get with a person after having sex with them and having this such strong
chemical and bond, that chemical reaction that's really going on in the bond that you're having with the person, to the point where they might do something wrong against you, sin against you, even cheat on you. But this emotional attachment you have with them because of that, the sex and the bond that you have created, you can't let go. There's something inside of you that is so attached to this person emotionally that you can't even focus on who they really are. You know what I mean? And it's something to really think about.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel like people who deal with this problem of being lust, they put lust on a pedestal. Like, yeah. Oh, this problem is so much bigger than me. But all you really need to do is put things bigger than that. Like,
yeah.
For example, following God's will or following your purpose or like pursuing something beyond just this like little problem of lust. Because the times when I was, I guess, the most focused, I totally forgot about lust, yeah. Or the things I was dealing with when watching porn and stuff, because I was just so focused and locked in on something bigger than that,
right?
Which was following my purpose or creating something or building stuff or in the gym, or I was just like doing stuff with my life, like taking this energy and expending it on things that will not necessarily give me something in return, but just to kind of fulfill me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess it gives me something
so,
in return.
Yeah, exactly. The desire of lust and pleasure becomes so little compared to what you're doing is that it gets buried underground and it's not even the thought doesn't even run through your head on, oh, should I do this or not? Because you understand the value of it, which is pretty much nothing in your life anymore. And it's identity too, which I want to come back to. Everything that you will build a habit on, you have to tell yourself that it's not my identity anymore. Same with when you're a smoker or you're a drunk person, and you have to tell yourself, I am not that person anymore. Unless you do that, you will still have that identity of that person. Therefore, the identity of that person does X, Y, and Z. Smoking, drinking, going to club, jerking off, this type of stuff. You don't want to be that person. So you have to start from, telling yourself, stand in the mirror, write down, make notes on this stuff, saying, I am not that person anymore, and then write down who you are. And when you feed yourself positive affirmations, which I'll be honest, I think it's kind of looked down upon, this positive affirmations and telling yourself positive things and having like transforming your mindset into positive thinking through outward expressions, as well as kind of like inward stuff, is you need to really put that to practice. What you tell yourself is actually how your brain thinks. I think people don't really understand
that. On a subconscious level, because everything that you see in your environment is getting like dialed into our brains, but consciously, like, you might not be able to see everything that goes into our brains.
And considering that we are mostly water, it all makes sense, bro. Whatever you tell yourself and whatever you think,
the word, the vibration.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's going to vibrate energy in yourself. And the frequency will tend to kind of shape you and gravitate you towards that same frequency. We're mostly water. Like, so we're 70% water. So when you tell yourself, let's say, I'm a winner, I'm a strong-willed person, I'm courageous, what happens is these words, without you seeing them, have an effect in you, which takes time. It doesn't happen overnight, but it takes time. And what happens is your body and your mind and your neurochemical system responds to them in a way where you actually tend to see, attract, and focus on the things that that type of person would. But when you take yourself away from these positive words, positive affirmation, positive environment, positive thoughts, you fall into the opposite. And everything that you imagine is good, of its opposite, is who you will be. So you want to align yourself as close to who that positive person is. So you got to have some kind of role model. You got to have some kind of, a thought and a picture on who you want to be and what do you want to achieve. And what a better example than Jesus Christ, right? God himself came down on in human flesh, taught this incredible teachings, not only that, but lived it. And there's no higher standards than him. But then you can see all over the world, people who reflect his image and people who have lived the lifestyle of struggle and serving people, just full on dedicating their lives to creating something that will help other people. Why not? Why wouldn't you want to be that person that helps other people? Why would you want to just use such abundance that is in the world, which is created by the hard work of other people, but not be part of it, not be part of giving it forward? You take, what do you truly give? That should be a question you ask. You know what I mean? So the reason why I brought up this point is because, you know, you can't overlook the positive affirmations. You really have to start somewhere, and you have to, you know, shape your mindset into achieving that, the potentiality of that person who is the future version of yourself. You got to really look at it from that perspective.
You got to believe it, right?
Yeah, you got to believe it.
What's another thing is, I think people usually, like, when they look at this topic that we're talking about, they say, well, it has nothing to do with me because I'm not Christian. That rules don't apply on me because I'm not a Christian. You know what I mean? I don't believe in that God. So that rules kind of don't apply to me. I make up my own rules, whatever makes me feel good, because how do we know that's the right way to live? Those are the commands,
right? I'm glad you mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah. And I think one of the easiest ways to really explain it is, it says in the Bible too, that we're all made in the image of God. So if we're all made in the image of God, and God is our creator, whether you believe it or you don't, or, you know, if you don't really comprehend it or whatever it may be, you know, it still doesn't change the fact that you are created by someone, and that you have a creator, and that is above you. So anything that is commanded by him, you better follow it, because if you don't, we literally find it in our experiences that anything that it goes against God's command destroys a human being. Right. You know, anything, literally, outside of marriage, sex outside of marriage, either brings you to depression, or taking on the responsibility and being miserable for the rest of your life, right? Because all you had to do was just wait and find the right girl and just follow that one simple, plain command. Do not have sex outside of marriage, right? Another thing is, for example, do not kill, right? Yeah. And you have this,
moral
resentment, resentment in your heart that, you know, somebody really made you mad and drove you to that point where you have to you killed someone, right?
Right.
Now, the justice is that you go to jail because you killed someone, and there's everything that you do has consequences, right? If you just listen to that command and start to learn and understand that you are not, it's not your place to kill someone or, you know, even steal or those type of things, you start to understand that you're free from those things that take you to in a dark place, right?
Right.
And it's simply just following those commands that is bizarre to hear people saying, how do we know this is the right things to follow when everything is based off of the commands that God gave, what's it called, prophets. And, you know, the prophets went on and explained that this is how we should live. And,
right.
though, and, you know, until this day, everything, any justice system close to it is built off of those
10 simple commandments.
Yeah, 10 simple commandments. Literally, you cannot live your life as a good person. Right?
And simple morals and
say,
too, bro.
Exactly. And say, you know what, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I do not believe that, you know, there's a God out there, right? For example, an atheist that says that. But then if you ask him a simple question, do you think if I come and kill you right now is wrong or is it wrong or right? I mean, like, those simple questions that make you think is just a simple logic to explain to someone that there is something that is objectively truth, and then there's no subjective thing that goes with it. You know what I mean? That it's either right or wrong. No, it's like wrong. Everybody right. knows this. So that's what I want to underline. It's not only for Christians. And it's doesn't, that's it. Like, if you have this label that you're a Christian, this rule does not apply with you. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Dude, and even to ask ourselves the logical questions on why we feel the way we do after indulging activities like that is, why do you feel shameful? Why do you feel like you have just deprived yourself from something that just leaves you empty and you don't even have energy. All you want to do is just sleep and, you know, these type of stuff. It's very simple. That is they can signal that
we can ask them to go try it out for a whole week, right? Every single day, release your seed, go eat a big meal and see how you feel, right? Eat a big meal, go release your seed and see how you feel versus the next week, you don't do it at all. Maybe you fast in the mornings, see how you feel. That's it. Try to live it out. Because maybe there's some people out there that's like, oh, I love brushing. Like, this does some people out there like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for sure,
guaranteed.
Bro.
There's some people out there who are like, I can't stop. I want to stop. Okay, well, test it out, right? Like, see how you feel. And, like, if you really want to keep living like that, because eventually people make a choice, right? If they keep on releasing their seed or not. Like, they make that decision whether they like it or not, right? Or they clearly do like it because they're making the decision, right?
But it's like a hook that the devil has on people when you're trapped. Is you're not truly freedom. God created us free from having to rely on these type of desires, because one way or another, when you indulge in activities like that, you're seeking something outside of God and His mission and His purpose, right? The devil is trying to take you away from picking up that cross, which is the responsibility that you were put on this earth for, to serve God and live by following His commandments and building things on this earth for the kingdom and His glory, right? So what would be something that would take you away from such responsibility? Keeping you away from even thinking about something being your responsibility, your duty, and solely yours alone, sometimes even. Like that path, that is a lonely path that you have to deal with sometimes alone. You don't have to all the time, but sometimes you really have to walk on the path of not being sure, being doubtful, scared, even tired. These are the emotions you go through. But when you distract yourself from thinking only about yourself, that is you dropping the cross and saying, I'm too tired of this. Just indulge in something that will make me feel good and take me away from the responsibility. That responsibility never goes away. Keep on calling you. And that's why you can't go down too far to the point where you don't hear any type of responsibility and God knocking on your heart telling you, turn away from this. It's bad. Doing you injustice. To the point where people will start justifying their action knowing that it's bad. You know what I mean? And that's why such things like pornography that can lead to people becoming serial killers. I mean, how can you ever, if there's a situation like that that ever happened, and it's not like, well, it was only one person. It's actually pretty common that people have gone into very, very dark, fantasies and all these type of stuff. Dude, like, there's like millions of people who are, because I watched this, you guys know the movie Sound of Freedom?
No, I do not.
But Jim Caviezel plays, can you actually, let me look up. So there's this character.
Too,
so there's this character who actually played, who Jim Caviezel played as, but he's a real character who saves people from, you know, sex trafficking and stuff. That guy was literally explaining with the stats that there are millions of people who go so far into, the adult content where they start to pain watching rape and all these type of stuff on, like, live on camera. And when you hear that these type of desires of yours that are supposed to make you feel good and that are natural and it's your desire, you know, you have high testosterone, that leads to something like that. Is it you really using your testosterone and your desires properly, or is it just you using that in a way where it's literally demonic? It really is. Because if it's not bad at the moment, it doesn't mean that there's no potential of it becoming so bad to the point where you can't be that person. I mean, what guarantees you that you won't be that person who, you know, goes down in the rabbit hole of the fantasies of such things, right? Because we're all humans. We all have, you know, we can only control our brain so much until it takes over. And you have to be mindful of these things, and you have to turn away from it as soon as possible. And if this doesn't scare you and if you don't want to be that person, why not quit today? Why not start, you know, progressing and telling yourself, okay, tomorrow I'm going to actually start quitting. Tomorrow I'm going to start from day one saying, you know, I'm on semen retention. See how you feel. See how more focused, how more alive, present, how more of a human you actually are, and how free you are from the desires. There's nothing more liberating than being free from something that you don't have to say, oh, I want to stop, but I can't. Well, you can though. You know, and God can help you with that.
Yeah. You know what's another problem that I see is, you know, I think the, you know, it's not just people, it's not just a desire that also controls you, but it's also like the environment, right? Like I've seen videos, it's all over social media, it's all over YouTube, and it's anywhere where people start to justify those things and say that watching this stuff every once in a while could be a healthy thing, that you're, you know, your body asks for a pleasure and it's okay that you right. do this, right? And it's crazy why, you know, and when somebody's, you know, given this choice of, you know, God is commanding you not to do this stuff, and then there's this side of people telling you that it's right. Now, who knows? Do we know better than God? No, right? Because, you know, we're not all knowing. We're not all powerful. We are not the creators. We are created. We can't know what's good for us and what's bad for us. That's why there's a commands given to Moses from God, because they didn't know any better and they didn't know what was good and what was right in their eyes, because, you know, in my eyes, you know, killing might be good and in somebody's eyes, it might be bad, right? I'm just saying, I'm just putting this in perspective. Because we don't know that, God gives us commands, right? And at the end of the day, you're given a choice.
Do you want to follow God? I don't think that people didn't know those commands because
I know. I'm just putting this, like, I'm putting extreme on the table because I want to compare that it's like you're given a choice. Like, you know what I mean? That,
go ahead.
You know, you either follow that God tells you that this is wrong or you start to listen to your own self and make yourself as, you know, a good person and you know everything and you know what's right and what's wrong for you and not listening to God's word, what God is telling you, right? So, like, what I'm trying to take this is, I think we have to, as you know, we have to help each other and, like, also make a choice and all follow God, because when we don't follow God, we get into these temptations because that person doesn't know any better than you. So you have to listen to God and what the Bible tells you. That's why you don't listen to someone justifying their own actions, because you can do so much with your intellectual, with your free will. Intellectually, that you can justify anything that you do and make it better and make it less bad. But we all know that, you know, sin causes death. Like it will be eternal death if you don't turn away from it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
If you keep on living in sin and, you know, justifying anything that you do that goes against God. And let's be honest, I don't know how many percent of people have read Bible and I don't know how many percent of are like Christians and know about Christ, but I'm pretty sure it could be like 50% of people that at least heard about those commands that tell you, what's it called? That it goes against God's commands, right?
Right.
And, you know, when you know this stuff, it's really scary that you either listen to God or you listen to that person that's justifying that. And, you know, the truth reality is, and the harsh reality that everybody should hear is, you know, unfortunately, if you don't astray from it and you don't hear and you don't listen to God, you are going to, you know, face him and be given what you asked for, basically, and what you did and what you thought was right. If you think this is right, go for it. Keep doing it. If you think this is what's going to save you, and if you think this is the right way to live life and not the way that I've given you, right? Then you're not going to have eternal life with me. You know what I mean? So people really need to make that choice.
Yeah.
That we all made, actually. We all made that choice. Either I follow with faith what God has told me, even though I can't see him physically. I can't really hear him saying it, but I've seen and I know that this is what he said, and he knows better than I. You have to be humble about this, really. Like, if a person is not humble enough to say that they don't know what they know, right, then you're really just doing everything based off of your feelings and based off of your, like, being smart, but you're really not smart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I need to I don't know if I explained it right, but
no, you did.
You guys get the point?
Yeah, for sure. Because look, we have our personal testimonies. We were there at some point, all of us, where we were controlled by our own pleasures and desires. And at some point, we were all justifying that, saying, you know, it's okay if I do it just once a day or just once a week. Nothing's wrong with it. You know what I mean? But then when you understand that you don't really need to do any of that, you just choose to because of selfish desires or just your addictions, every time you do it, you want to be free from it. You might not. And at the time, you have to ask yourself the question, okay, what is that path that leads, that can help me to be free from this, right? And look, the idea is there's two sides to the coin. And you cannot just give up and be hopeless that because you are trapped in this addiction, there's no hope.
No way around it.
Right. But understanding that, you know, you're chasing something outside of just pleasure, for me personally, just felt like there's pleasure in chasing out something outside of just your simple desires and looking at things on a basic level on what it is enjoyment only for myself. Because you, when it comes to these type of activities, you tend to indulge in it alone, right? Like pornography and stuff like that. You don't really share that intimacy with anybody. You don't share that that love that you're looking for only through screen. You don't do any of that. You only keep it for yourself. You only do it for yourself. It's not something you would tell other people saying, yo, you know what? Like, this is such a good thing that I encourage everybody else to do it. People try to justify it, but nobody really goes out, as far as I know, that says, yo, go and do this. However, there's something that is hidden there in that act, which isn't you verbally saying it, but when you do such thing, you are actually, just like how we influence somebody from not doing it, and people take that as inspiration, there's also the opposite, right? When you indulge in this and you're trapped by these desires, you actually are kind of subtly telling people that it's okay to do it.
Every once in a while, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to first be the example. You can't. That's why, you know, you can't just like preach what you don't do.
You know what's another lie? What is that thing they say? Do everything in moderation, right?
Right.
That's what they say.
I think as long as it's in moderation, everything's, it's okay.
That's also one of the lies that mankind has been told by, you know, the government or whoever makes up this, whoever is in charge of, you know, coming up with this type of thing.
Well, I wouldn't say the government, right? But
no, yeah, I don't know, but
devil's deceitment.
You get the idea. Yeah. Like someone that is so smart to come out and, you know, talk about, they say, you know what, long as you do it in moderation, it's okay. You know, there's someone out there that is on that side of, I guess
anybody can say that as long as they have influence.
No, yeah,
and a lot of people can see, and a lot of ears can hear
the influence that they have on people saying that, you know what I mean? So that's also a deceitment that you can tell someone about that because, you know, you might not be doing everything that, like, look, there might be someone that doesn't understand how bad that sounds, right? Like at first you might say, yeah, everything in moderation is actually not, like, it's good, right?
Right.
But then when you go into it and say, okay, is doing drugs in moderation good, right? Then they say no. Then you tell them, for example,
well, some will.
Some will, but you know, majority of people.
But life is too short, that, right? And we only live once.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like that's all lies right there. And putting it right in front of us.
Life's too short to not eat that cookie. Life's too short to.
No, that's cookies, food, that kind of thing. I'm not going that. I'm not going that.
I know. I'm just trying to compare that.
I'm going
though.
Very, very, like, I'm talking about like sin, bro. I'm not talking about like food and cookies, right? Like,
okay.
Food is a different topic here. We're talking about something that really estrays you from God. Like a strong, like a sin, basically. Like, I don't think eating like cookie and processed food is a sin. It's really not. Like, I'm talking about sex, watching pornography, lust.
Well, you understand why I brought it up,
killing.
Right?
Yeah. No, of course.
Okay.
But like even that is a lie, you know what I mean? But that's, I'm going to go a little bit deeper than that. You know, it's like, I don't think those people that even say it follow that, because you can't be consistent with that, because that person is not doing drugs in moderation. You know what I mean? They're really not. But there's some other things that they're probably doing in moderation.
Yeah.
But if you tell that to someone,
you want them to justify their actions, which isn't good.
Right. And you start things in moderation and then you go so far, especially when it comes to addictions and things that really like dopamine and, you know, the chemical reaction that is given off when you actually indulge in things like alcohol, pornography, sex, drugs in general are so high that it's really not so hard for your brain to be hooked on. It's actually very easy. So when you understand that these stuff can start from moderation, right?
Yeah.
But then can lead to addiction. I mean, to what level are you saying it's a moderation? It never can be moderation. It just started from once, twice, just a little habit, then it led to addiction. None of these stuff ever, if you start from it, that you will say, yeah, I can quit whenever. A lot of people tend to say that stuff, I can quit whenever. But when it comes to physically doing it, it's very hard. Therefore, you're not doing it in moderation, nor are you doing it simply for enjoyment. You're kind of hooked onto it, right? So you have to really, really watch how you justify things only for the sake of making your argument right and not actually looking inwardly and saying, do I really think that? Do I really think it's okay? Right? And that's when the right approach has to come in. Look, shame is one thing to feel, but at the same time, when you are going through such thing, and that's why, you know, I try not to always, I guess, go from that side of pushing shame and guilt and all that kind of stuff, which is something you shouldn't lose, because it is a driving factor, even fear of taking us away from places that we do not want to be at. But at the same time, you can't think that just because you're going through an addiction, you can't talk about it. You can ask for help. There's a lot of people who have overcome that. And it's really not that hard when you have a relationship with Christ. And this is where I'm going to bring Christ in the picture. Because at the end of the day, bro, no matter what it is that you're going through, no matter what it is that you're addicted to, whether it's as small as an addiction to junk food, people have that too, even that simple is an addiction, is not freedom. There's no liberation from it. And that's what God calls us to really be, is that free person who no longer has to live with, you know, live in a box where they think there's no hope out, there's no hope to get it out of from. And that is exactly where the devil comes in and just whispers in your ear saying, you know, it's okay even if you do eat junk food, and it's okay because as long as you're not addicted to this, something big, but it's still an addiction. So,
but I guess where
when it comes
to
sexual
that,
desire, though, it's just,
I guess
so
where
much
I was
bigger.
Going with that was like the whole idea with moderation is the keys. Like being on both sides of the gates, right? Both sides of the gates. Like one of the things that, you know, I do the commands from God, but I also, you know, make mistakes, and I also want to live in the world. And if the world is telling me that it's okay that I have sex every once in a while with a girl that I love,
right?
You know, it's okay. But, you know, God tells us you can't serve two masters and you can't be on both sides. You're either strongly following my commands,
right,
and you're choosing your life to be built on based off of my commands and my teachings and my way, or it's not gonna work. It really doesn't, because what's it called?
You will see your life also transform.
How is it in the Bible? Light or dark can, or light can dark, something like that.
Darkness cannot live in light.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like anything that you try to justify, you really can't live with it. You know what I mean? You either have to really try to get your life perfect and, you know, live that like that path to go to God and be his child and, you know, do everything in faithfulness.
Yeah.
Or, you know, unfortunately, it's just not going to work out. You really can't do it. Like people that I've talked to and I've noticed, like you're either one this here, there, yeah. like you, at the end of the day, you're really not making, you're not based. And when a person is not based, it's scary, it's dangerous, because anything that you will do, you can justify it.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do that. You don't want to justify it. You don't want to justify it with yourself.
Yeah.
You want to go in the Bible and see if it says that or not. If you're doing something that you, for example, you're not sure if having sex once in a while is wrong or not, right? You go in the Bible and tells you,
yeah,
do not have sex outside of marriage. That's it. Like there, it's based as it gets. There's no way going around it.
Right.
So you shouldn't go around it.
So yeah. When I was speaking on that matter of Jesus is, look, God wants you to be free, and God wants you to be free from the addictions. There's nothing that he can't do that will change and transform your life and your heart from these desires. So, you know, a lot of the times people seek validation. Sometimes people seek love and try to understand things from a perspective on, okay, how can I truly be free? But, you know, Christ offers forgiveness, and he offers peace and love through him. So people really need to understand that God, who created the universe, God who created the world, God who created us, created everything, and is eternal, how can he not take away this addiction from you? How can he not lead you on the right path that is good and inherently life, forever life-lasting experience? He can. And that's why I think people need to study the Bible, learn the read the Gospels, and really focus on Jesus, because he is the only one that can deliver you from, and if you're the person especially who's watching, really going through and wants to quit, is cry out to God, right? Pray to him. He's out there. You have to really believe that he will do it. Especially when it's something that you truly want to give up, you will find a way to ask him, take it away from me. Lead me to a path on turning away from this. And slowly but surely, you will actually understand that when you start to follow his simple commandments, even going to church and surrounding yourself with people who live for the Lord, talking to pastors who, you know, have given up all these desires to serve God, priests, like, you really understand that you're not alone. There are people who can actually help you and who can guide you to living a life that you don't have to live alone. So I would really encourage everybody to believe, trust in the prayers, talking to God, and, you know, really truly understand and truly want to change. There are some people who don't want to change, but I'm speaking to ones that want to change, because when you want to change, you will find ways to do it. So cry out to God, prayers, reading the Bible, reading the Word, talk to people who have overcome that and really listen to their advice and take that advice. Trust me, take advice from us, one advice, another from some pastor, another advice from a person who has gone through a hard addiction, and you kind of take all of them and apply into your life. There's no way your life won't change. It's really that simple. When you seek for help, you find help, and it's just really the key. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Faith is very important that you said that, because, you know, people need to have that, even that small faith that God will deliver them from that. Even if they don't understand it, how, but it's possible. You know what I mean? Like, that's why it says the size of our faith, size of a mustard seed, can move the mountains. Like, you know, you might not, or it doesn't like literally mean like move the mountains, but it just shows that little bit of faith can do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is just meaning that God will do that for you when you ask.
Exactly. And you have to have hope. Amen to that?
Sir. Amen.
Amen.
The Christian
culture? Yeah, you take the card out.
Randomly
pick out a card.
All right, which one are we doing?
haven't done stories in a while.
Yeah, we were supposed to do stories yesterday.
Did we do stories yesterday? No, right?
We did an icebreaker. Icebreaker, a little goofy question.
Ooh.
Read it to us, George.
Ooh, this is long. The book...
Move closer to it, or bring the roadcaster.
I got it. The Book of Ruth gives us an example of kinsman redeemer. What are some examples of Jesus' role as a redeemer in the Bible or in your life? You guys want to read it too? Because I don't know how to...
No, I understood the question. The Book of Ruth gives us an
example.
I haven't
read the Book of Ruth, but...
Kinsman redeemer, who is Jesus. What are some examples of Jesus' role as a redeemer in the Bible or in your life? So,
you want
for
to
me, yeah, for me personally, I mean, and I want to stick to this specific topic, because I did share this on my personal channel as well about my addiction with pornography and just sexual desires and not and letting it control me rather than me controlling it. But I really feel like when I turn to God and really try to live by His teachings and His commandments, like He said, do this. And I did it like truthfully. He said, you know, tell the truth, don't tell lies. I try to really fix that side of me and try to tell more truths and turn away from lies. Immoral things such as lusting, whenever that thought would come in, I would say a prayer. I would literally, and it was as simple as, God, just please help me for this thought to go away and fill me with more positive energy, with more positive thoughts. I would also, every time there was something negative around me or something, I would really, you know, step away from it. I would not watch negative things. I would actually watch positive. I started to, you know, educate myself, read more books, read things that would actually move me to becoming a better version of myself, a better person, to learn more, understand more. And when I started following this path, that was the path of redemption. That was a path towards becoming a better version of yourself. God is always there with you on that path. He's guiding you and He's there with you. And, you know, reading the Bible along those books really helped me to, through the redemption and understanding that I don't have to be trapped in this addiction. I don't have to feel this way. I don't have to indulge in something to escape from the reality, which may seem hard, because God is there with you. So that's the biggest way is a lot of the times people think that this, so to speak, restrictions or rules and laws, you know, keep you from fun and keep you from being a human, actually experiencing joy in life. But in reality, it just takes away from things that seem like they're joy and pleasure. But in reality, they're actually, they keep you
away from God.
Away from God. And they are the one, that is the exact thing that leads to destruction and emptiness. So there's really no restriction there. It's just a different path that seems hard, but it is in that hard path is where the fulfillment and true joy lies. So, I mean, Jesus redeemed a lot of people. Like, for example, in one of the places where this girl who was
to be stoned
because she was a prostitute, right? He redeemed her and you know, saved her and said, sin no more. So He pretty much just changed her heart and her desires to follow Him and live for Christ, live for God, and turn away from things that she has done in her life because she had that label. But in God's eyes, she was a follower of His. She just had to believe it. She had to be obedient and trust that He could deliver from her from the desires. And that's what He did. That's one of the stories that would come to my mind that's close to mine.
Nice. So, I'm going to go next?
Sure.
So, I can just pick one, right? Or to do both?
Pick three.
Yeah. So, I mean, a story of how Jesus is like a redeemer in my life is from the old life that I used to live. What it means to redeem is to save, to restore, to save from destruction. I looked it up. It didn't come off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But how I really imagine this is every time like I come to Christ, especially when I'm defeated, when I have like a lot of self-doubt, when I have like low self-esteem, I just feel like I'm pretty much a piece of shit. Sometimes like I come to Jesus and he just gives me that love and the hope. Like the clarity almost.
Yeah.
To be like, you are changed, right? You can be changed. You can be different. You don't have to be like this anymore. So that's how like mostly like he's a redeemer in my life, is to just give me the recognition that I don't have to be this person I once was. So
for me, it was the, I don't know. I've actually never read that book, Ruth, and I don't remember it on top of my head. but it says like,
gospel what talks are some a lot examples about how of God, Jesus, how Jesus redeemed people.
Yeah, exactly. So the gospel is definitely like number one thing for anyone that is new to Bible, because, you know, it's the easiest, I would say, you know, books to understand. It's straight up too. It literally tells you how to do things, what to do, what are the commands, what are the ways to live, and what he did for people, right? So if there was someone that was blind, he said, you know, there's also been which scenario is that? Is that when somebody, when they took the guy from the roof, when he told them your sins have been forgiven, he didn't say like get up and walk,
right?
But he said your sins have been forgiven. So I think that's a powerful story, because you know God freed him from sins, therefore everything else was changed in his life, right?
Yeah.
And this is kind of what we talked about. We talked about sin.
That's a good one.
So that's probably one of the stories. Other ones would be even that one you brought with prostitute. I don't know. There's just so many.
His disciples. They were all sinners.
That was like the first ones that came to my head. But the Gospels, for sure. The Gospels just talk a lot about it. And Jesus just even telling parables. You know, he was telling parables for them to understand the deep message of it, and the idea of, you know, walking that righteous life, you know what I mean? That you are making a choice, like this is who I want to be. Because, you know, there were some parables where he would take an example of someone that was sinning against God and the other one that was faithful to God. And then he would like almost end the story, and the parable would be like the end of that person that was not faithful dying and something bad happening to him. And then the guy that was faithful would at the end be victorious, you know what I mean? Like winning over
which
whatever.
Which one was that?
No, just in general, like parables would be the idea of...
Oh, okay.
The whoever would do bad and go against God's commands would die or even you know, something bad would happen to them.
Right.
And the other one that was faithful, something good would happen to them. That even shows the idea of if you follow God, good will happen to you. Like everything will be...
life will be given to you.
Life will be... Yeah, given to you. So,
amen.
That's it.
If you're watching this video, we really encourage that to take our advice on what we shared from our personal experiences, and reach out to us if it's something that you're struggling with, if it's something that you need help in, if you have any questions on what we talked about, please let us know. Follow us on Bros Think Big. You can DM us on there. And yeah, we hope that you guys really found this encouraging and found this video helpful for you guys. We tried our best to put this in very different perspectives, you know, all for people who are Christians, people who are not Christians. So thank you for listening. Get quote of the day. Mike, take over.
Quote of the day: marriage is honorable among all and bed undefiled. Did I say that right?
And bed undefiled. Oh wait, did I write this?
And one? Bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. 13:4.
No, hold up, I'll pull it up. Or pull it up from there. Yeah.
Bed undefiled.
You read it. You read it to me. I probably missed something there.
No, I think it might be it. I just don't.
Yeah. No, I definitely wrote that wrong. Yeah, that does not make sense.
Or is it Hebrews 13?
Yeah.
Hebrews marriage 13. Should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexual immorality. Oh, this is a different version.
Hebrews 13:4 is marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but for
the bed.
Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge.
I think that's right. I just forgot the word and the bed.
You forgot the word the.
Yeah, the.
So, you know, this really points out
you know, marriage is supposed to be honor. Marriage is supposed to be a responsibility, a covenant, a bond with you and your partner in bed undefiled, meaning you don't just get to sleep around with whoever you want before you get married and kind of denigrate yourself for your partner and or vice versa. You have to really understand that to commit to something pure, you have to go in pure as well. So you have to keep it pure if you want to honor it, if you want to respect it, if you want to take it seriously. Anything you take seriously, you don't look at it as if it's not that valuable, if it's a joke or it's just, oh, it's just marriage, but it's a lot more than that. It's a commitment and responsibility. So, and then it says God will judge. God will indeed judge those actions of yours, but he also gives us grace, which we should all take and accept before the judgment day comes. Because, you know, when you have all these chances on turning to God and turning to Christ when you need help and you don't choose that, you're pretty much choosing that you don't think you need help. You don't think you need redemption. You don't think there's something that you need to fix. So open your eyes to how God can work in your life, and open your eyes to what God can actually change in your life. You will find a lot of things that God can change and you know, change your purpose and your whole desire, your passion, and change you from your old self, give you new life.
Whatever is impossible to men or impossible unto men is possible to God.
Amen. Shout out, Georgie.
At Screen New Jersey on YouTube. Great podcast, boys. Remember, no church stands as much as the Orthodox Church. This is our friend Cole, who we had on a couple times.
Thank you, Cole.
Cole, if you're still here and
watching this video.
No, it's supposed to be 2S, no?
No, it's not.
Sure?
Remember.
Okay, whatever.
Remember.
But yeah, if you're here, still watching this, you know.
Maybe we'll have that discussion.
Yeah, and for you guys, we can kind of touch up on that idea of like, even, you know, I mean, we had that episode too about churches and religion, but we can go deep into with our
different denominations and all that stuff, yeah.
Because like I said, we're still learning, you know, we're still not like 100% complete in everything. We just try to follow the Bible and try to close to the truth. So,
amen.
Maybe we can have that episode in the future.
For sure.
Sure. Is that it?
Yeah.
That's it.
I think we've closed the episode with
a big, big, grow big.
Peace.
Go.